Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, which we just began yesterday, the brand new Masechta, and we begin 6-7 lines down from the top, Gimel Omid Aleph. Just to remind ourselves, in yesterday's share, we had four shitos explaining the Mishnah. We had the opinion of Rav Nachman, Rabbah, we had Rav Yosef, and Rav Yitzchok. And now we'll go through each one, why each one didn't say like the other three shitos. So we start off, Kulu Kirav Nachman Lo Amre. The other three shitos did not like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's shita, again, was the one that said that we were showing the Koach Dehetera of Beis Shammai, who says that the Beitza Shenolda Biyontiv is mutter because he doesn't hold muksa like Rabbi Shimon. And we had questioned that by saying, well, why not show us the Koach of Chumrah of Beis Hillel? And we had said, normally we hold that Koach Dehetera is Odiv, but in this situation, as explained by Tosfos, it would have been so easy to say both the Koach Dehetera of the opinion of Beis Shammai, as well as the Koach Dechumra, the opinion of Beis Hillel, so why didn't it say both of them? All it had to do was say the Tarnegoles is either Muktzah or not Muktzah on Yontif, Hiu Beitzasa, and this way you would have had both the opinion of Koach Dehetera of Beis Shammai, and you would have had also the opinion of the Chumra of Beis Hillel to show us how strong they were in their opinion. So therefore, that cushion that we had in the Gemara, ki kushan, so therefore, that's why the other three shitos didn't like Rav Nachman's explanation of our Mishnah. Why didn't everybody hold like hachana de rabba, ki rabba, nami lo amri? Everybody didn't want to say like rabba. The reason for that was, because they disagree with him. His unique drasha, Vechinu Esa Shiraviyu, says that even something passively occurring on Shabbos, such as the egg being formed inside the mother chicken, so if it's laid on Sunday, it's as if Shabbos is being made for Yontif. On a Doraisa level, they don't hold from that. Hachona les lehu. So the other three shitos didn't like his opinion. But the question that the Gemara says, the third opinion that we had, Rav Yosef, they said it's the Gzeira of Peros, no shrimp, that we don't allow you to have the egg that's laid on Yontif because it's too similar. We said it was a gezeira to Peros, no shrimp. The fruits fell off the tree. We don't allow you to use them because you may come to go pluck the fruit off the tree. And this was one gezeira chodah. It was a single gezeira. Why you can't have the egg coming out of the chicken? That gezeira is very, very similar to the fourth gezeira with Rav Yitzchak gezeira of Mashkim Shizovu. If you have fluids, secretions, the juices that came out of a fruit, you can't have them because you may come to squeeze them. So we said, likewise, you can't have the egg that came out of the chicken. So these two are very similar to each other. So El Rav Yosef, my time alone, Omar Rav Yitzchok, and then more we'll ask in a moment, Rav Yitzchok, my time alone, Omar Rav Yosef. What was the difference between Shita number 3 that he didn't like Shita number 4 and Shita number 4 that he didn't like Shita number 3? So Gemara says, Rav Yosef would tell you, I don't like Shita number 4 because Amalach, Beitza, an egg, is food, uchla. Uperos, the perush shenashu, is uchla, is a food. And therefore, two solid foods, one can make the gzera one to the other. Chod gzerihi, that therefore, because the rabbis were concerned that you may come to pluck things off a tree, they didn't let you have fruits that fell down or an egg that was laid. However, the concept of Rabbi Yitzchak that we make exeri mishum mashkim shizavu, whoa, lafuke mashkim de lavuchla. Juices aren't the food, so I wouldn't make the same gezeira from an egg, which is a solid, to the juices, which are a liquid. That's why Rav Yosef didn't like Rav Yitzchak's teretz. No, Rav Yitzchak, my time alone, my Rav Yosef. Why did Rav Yitzchak not like Rav Yosef's teretz? So Amaloch, Rav Yitzchak would tell you, Beitza is like blua, umashkin are like bluin. A beitza inside the mother egg is like swallowed up inside, and the juices inside the fruit are like swallowed up inside. So therefore, these two are actually comparable, as opposed to the peros that are on the tree, lafuke peros, the miglu v'kaimu, they're visible, they're readily available, they're not hidden in any way, and therefore, you wouldn't compare the fruits that are on the tree to the egg that's hidden inside the chicken. It makes more sense to compare the egg hidden inside the chicken to the juices that are hidden inside of the fruit. And that's why Rav Yitzchak preferred his gezeira. Okay, that explains the four shitas, why each one doesn't hold like the other one. Now the Gemara tells us that, by the way, this last shita of Rav Yitzchak, that it's because of the gezeira of Mashkim Shizabu, if we allow you to go and have the juice that came out of the fruit on its own, then you're going to go pluck the fruit, and therefore you can't have the egg because it's similar to balua, it's similar to the juices that were hidden inside the fruit, so too the egg hidden inside of the chicken. So this is also the opinion of Rav Yochanan. After Rav Yochanan Sovar, Gzeira Mishum Mashkim Shizavu, he agreed with the opinion of Rav Yitzchak. How do we see that? Because of a long, complicated stira that Rav Yochanan addressed in the following manner. The Rav Yochanan Rami the Rav Yehuda, Ad Rav Yehuda, Umishani. Rav Yochanan is going to contrast two statements that Rav Yehuda made, And he's going to show that they can't be the way they are, and therefore he explains them in a certain way that is only consistent with the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. What is that? So the first one that we have from Rabbi Yehuda is that we learned in the Mishnah, in Sochatin Esaperos Lahotzi Mihen Mashkin. One is forbidden to go and squeeze out fruits to get their juices on Shabbos or on Yantif. You're not allowed to do that. And even if they came out on their own, Vim Yatsu Me'atzman, you didn't squeeze them, something else happened to them and they got squeezed out, nevertheless still Asurin. That is a Tanna Kamma. And along comes Rabbi Yehuda Omer in that Mishnah, Im Li'ochlon, if the original purpose of these fruits was to eat them. So they were apples that you were going to eat. They were oranges that you were going to eat. So then, the juice that comes out of them is considered ochel. Hayotzei mihen, therefore, is mutter. Just like the apple and the orange was permissible, so too, the juices that come out of them are considered ochel. And therefore, there is no iser if they happen to come out on their own. Now, what do you see from here? Alma, call ochlin, something that is ochlin, or some have the gear, so le ochlin, something that is for ochlin, is going to be acceptable as a juice, as an ochel. Amo kol ochlin, Rabbi Yehuda, uchlo di ifrasu. Everything that is a food, no matter what comes from it, even a juice that comes from it, is considered like an ochel. The egg that comes out of the mother hen that was supposed to be a shchita hen, so therefore it was considered muchan, so the egg is considered muchan. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, this doesn't go in accord with another statement that Rabbi Yehuda made. What is that? Uminu, we see that Rabbi Yehuda said, the Odom of Rabbi Yehuda added on and said the following. This is a mission in Erevin. Rashi tells us that this was talking about an Erev Tavshilin on Rosh Hashanah. Are the first days of Rosh Hashanah considered different than the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Or is the first day of Rosh Hashanah one Kiddush Arichta? Now, in this part of this mission in Erevin, it says that you could go, according to this opinion, and make an Erev Techumim on the first day of Rosh Hashanah that would be different than the Erev Techumim that you make on the second day of Rosh Hashanah because they're considered two different Kedushos. The Kosova, Rashi says, Shtei Kedushos Hein. And therefore, in fact, you could have two different Erev Techumims. Now, he also said, V'od Amar Rav Yehuda, in addition to that, Rav Yehuda said the following, Mas Na'odam Al Kalkola Shel Peros B'yom Tov HaRishon V'ochlo B'sheni. If a person had an untied basket of fruits, and now he wants to eat them, so he's stuck. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to take off Trumas HaMaisus, it's Masaking, you're not allowed to go do that. So he's stuck. But he can say as follows. If today, this is through Rashi, I'm explaining as Rashi says, if a person were to say, if today is really Rosh Hashanah, then what I'm saying now is nothing. And then on the second day, he goes and repeats it, and he says, if yesterday was really Rosh Hashanah, today is Chol, and therefore I'm being Masaking this basket of fruits right now and taking off Trumas and Maisers. And then it's perfectly good. And on the first day, he says, if in fact today is not Rosh Hashanah and tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, then I'm designating these over here. He marks them off in some way that this will be the fruit that will be the Trumas and Maisers, and the rest of the fruit, therefore, will no longer be Tevel, will now be Chulin. And then on the second day, he says, if in fact yesterday was Chol, then today is nothing, and what I'm saying now is nothing. But if yesterday was in fact Yontiv, then when I say it on the second day, now I'm being Mafreshit. And therefore, v'ochla b'sheni, on the second day he can go and eat it, because mimarushach, if the first day was Yontif, he's being mafreshtim now. If the first day wasn't Yontif, he was mafreshtim yesterday. And Rabbi Yehuda adds, v'chein beitza shenoldo b'rishon teyocha b'sheni, based upon the same idea, that it's two separate kedushos, so if the egg was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you can't eat it on the first day, but mimarushach, on the second day, you can eat it. If the first day was Yontif, so now it's chol, and you can eat the egg. If the first day wasn't Yontif, so then it was laid on the chol, and no problem to eat it on Yontif the second day. So Rabbi Yochanan now is medayik in this statement of Rabbi Yehuda, only on the second day, basheni in, you can only eat the egg on the second day. Barishon lo, but on the first day you can't eat it. Now, this is in contradiction to what we just said to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda just said that if it was li'ochlin, in other words, if the chicken was for eating, not for an egg-laying chicken, but it was for a shchita chicken, so the egg that comes out, hayotzim hen mutter. So that was on the first day. So therefore, the first opinion of Yehuda is that it's considered to be ochla diafris. It's a food that came out, and it could be eaten on the first day. But according to the second opinion that we brought down from Rabbi Yehuda, with the kalkola shalperos that you're masaking, so you can't eat it on the first day, you can only eat it on the second day. So how does Rabbi Yochanan get around this? So Mishani Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explains the stira in the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda in the following way. Muchlefes hashita. You obviously have the wrong attribution over here. As Rashi tells us, all the way down at the bottom, Shitas HaMishnah De'ein Sochatin the Epoch the Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. The Mishnah that talked about you're not allowed to go press it, the Tanakama had said Vim Yotzu Miatzvin Asurin. And then we had said Rabbi Yehuda says no, Im Ochlin Hayosim Emutah, flip that around. The Tanakama is really the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And what we had is Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion of the Chachamim. And therefore, in this Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda also agrees Im Yotzu Miatzvin Asurin. Ah, he holds just like he held in the Mishnah in Erevin, talking about the Kalkola of Peros, that you can't have it on the first day. So what do you see? These two are analogous to each other. The Schita of the fruits, the Mashkin Shezavu, is the same exact halacha as the chicken and the egg. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is Mashma just like Rabbi Yitzchak, that both of them hold that these two are analogous. When you're dealing over here with the Gzeira of Mashkin Shezavu, it applies as well to the chicken's egg that's laid on Yontiv. Ergo, you see that Rabbi Yochanan, after Rabbi Yochanan, Savar Gzeira Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. And that's what the Gemara now says. Since he compared the two and said that there's a steer between them and he had to say Muchlefes Ashita, clearly this is his understanding that the Gzeira is based upon what Rabbi Yitzchak said, Mashkim Shezavu. Shma Mina Chad Tama Hu. Now we turn to Gimel Amud Beis, where we have another explanation of the stira between Rabbi Yehuda. We do have a stira between Rabbi Yehuda, if you leave it the way that it was, so we'll have the teretz of Ravina, we'll have one more teretz of Ravina Brei de Ravula in a moment. So the second teretz is now from Ravina. Ravina Amar, in fact, don't say Muchlef as a shita like Rabbi Yochanan did. Li'olam lo tipoch. You don't have to flip around the shitas. And then why is there no stira in Rabbi Yehuda? The second Mishnah from Erevin, that tells us that Rabbi Yehuda says, you cannot eat it on the first day, you can only eat it on the second day. But the first Mishnah, Ein Sochatin said, Rabbi Yehuda said, you could eat it on the first day if the fruit was Li'ochlin. So you don't flip around the shitas according to Ravina. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, Lidivrehem derabbanon karmalahu. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't saying his own shita. He says, even according to you, Chachamim, according to me, I got no problem. But according to you, you should also say like me. According to me, the egg should be allowed to be eaten even on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because I hold the uchla the ifrasu. I hold that it's food that came out. So therefore, my opinion is that you're allowed to eat it for sure. But even according to you, in the Mishnah, where we talk about the second day of Rosh Hashanah, at least admit to me why you disagree that you can eat it the first day. My opinion is that you can eat it the first day. And even though the Mishnah said that he reviewed it, says you should eat the second day, he was saying, not according to me. According to me, you can eat it the first day because it's Uchla D'Yifrasu. But according to you, say it's two separate Kedushas. And the Miman of Shach that was attributed to me, I'm saying, why don't you, Rabbanan, hold that Miman of Shach? El Ditru, Odi Li, at least admit to me, Mias, the B'Sheni Sharia, on the second day because of the Miman of Shach. Because you made it tonight. So if today, first day of Rosh Hashanah, is in fact Rosh Hashanah, so then tomorrow I'm mafresh the Trumas and Maisers. And if in fact today is Chol, then now I'm being mafresh the Trumas and Maisers, and do the same thing on the second day, and Miman Hashach at least be able to eat it the second day. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is telling the Chachamim. Not me personally. I personally hold you can eat the first day because of Uchla D'Yifrasu. The Shtei Kedushos saying, so admit to me that they're two separate Kedushos. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. The Yamali Rabbanim, but the Rabbanim respond back to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Lo, Kedusha Achasi. We hold that Rosh Hashanah is one long 48-hour single day in Halacha. It's Kedusha Achas, and you can't set up a separate Erev Techumim on the first day that's different than the second day, and you can't make this Takana, this Miman Hashach, to be Misaking your fruits from the first day to the second day, because it's one long day. Rashi points out, but the other Yomim Tovim, which are Sveka the Yoma, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah, which was in order not to have a kilkul in the shir. So even during the days of the Beis Hamikdash, and even during nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael, they observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and it's called Kiddush HaRichta. It's not considered two separate Kiddushos, it's one long Kiddusha. It's not Sveka D'Yoma. And therefore, the din is different by Rosh Hashanah. But Rashi points out, by a regular Yontif Sheni Shogalias, so then this Mimon Shach of Rav Yehuda would be agreed to by the Chachamim as well. That's the second teretz to explain the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. The third and final teretz to explain the stira is Ravina. Ravina Berei de Ravula. This is a different Ravina. This is Ravina who's the son of Ravula. Amar, he said that, you know what we're dealing over here with? Hacha b'tarnegolis ha'omed is the guy that baits him. We're not talking about a mother hen that is, in fact, set for Shechita, and therefore is Muchan itself, and therefore you could say that the egg that comes out is the Uchla, the Ifra, so it's no different than the mother, just like in Shech the mother, so you can eat the egg. No, this mother was not Muchanis. She was, in fact, a chicken that was being kept alive for egg laying purposes, and therefore wasn't muchan l'shchita. And Rabbi Yehuda l'taymei, Rabbi Yehuda says the islay mukta. Rabbi Yehuda is the famous bar plukta of Rabbi Shimon that we spoke about in great detail yesterday, that holds there is a concept of mukta. And if the tarnagolis is all medes legad lebeitzim, so then this tarnagolis is mukta, and therefore if the mother is mukta, so too is the egg mukta. And that's the third reconciliation between these two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to go back and discuss again the four shittos that we started off the shiur with, that was yesterday's shiur, the four shittos of Rav Nachman, of Hachana the Rabbah, Rabbah's shita, and Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak. And we're going to answer a question, we'll see which ones it goes on. So the Gemara asks the following question, Meisvei, we learned in the following braisa, Echad beitza shenolda b'shabbos v'echad beitza shenolda b'yontif. Whether an egg was laid on Shabbos or an egg was laid on Yontif, ein metalin osa, it's mukza, and you're not allowed to move it. And you can't use it for any other purpose. Lulachasos boas a kli, you can't use it as like a bottle stopper, a bottle cap on top of a bottle. V'lo lismuch bo kari amita. Now, this sounds very funny. You can't use the egg as like a leg stand to hold up and support the legs of a bed. Let's say a bed is uneven, so you put a coaster under it. So you can't use an egg to keep the bed even. Now, why wouldn't the egg break? So an egg is actually pretty strong. If you put it up vertically, it actually is difficult to smash the egg just by pressing on the two vertical ends. You crack it on the side. So it can actually support possibly a kari amita. But you're not allowed to use this mukta egg either as a bottle cap or as a bed support. However, you're not obligated to let it go to waste. You don't have to just let it, well, it came out of the chicken and now if somebody steps on it, tough luck. No, you can put a kli on top of it, and this way nobody will step on it because they'll step on the kli instead. So you're allowed to protect the egg. That's not a problem with muktzah. Usveika asura. If you're in doubt, what is the status of this egg? Now, this seems to imply that we're dealing over here. Rashi says, Sofik nolda biyontif, Sofik b'chol. We don't know when it was laid. So then, asura biyontif. Then you can't use it on Shabbos or on yontif. You're not sure when it was laid. Sveiko asura. And this will be a question that we'll ask in a moment. And then finally, it tells us another thing. Vimis arva bi'elef. If it became mixed up with other eggs. So this egg is asur. So if it gets mixed up with other eggs, kulan asuras. All the other eggs are also going to be asur. So now, the last two statements over here are going to be problematic. Gemara starts off first and tells us Bishlomo le Rabba, whose opinion was Hachono de Rabba, his famous shita that you're not allowed to go and even passively prepare on Shabbos for Sunday Yontiv. He said the reason why the Beis Shnol Yontiv is talking about a case where Yontiv was on Sunday and therefore Shabbos was making for it, and therefore the rabbis made Xerah for every Yontiv because of Shabbos that comes out on a day before Yontiv. Yontiv is on Sunday, so according to this explanation of Rabba, we understand. What suffix are we talking about over here? Sveika Asura. It's a Sveika Daraisa. Because he says Achana Darab is a Daraisa principle. And therefore, in this situation, we're not sure if it was laid on Shabbos or on Yontif. Maybe it was. So it's a suffix based upon a Daraisa. And therefore, V'chol Sveika Daraisa L'chumrah. We understand why Sveika is Asur. And on the side, he brings down from the Tosfos Yishonim. And there's no kasha according to the first opinion, which was Rav Nachman. Avol Rav Nachman, lo parach, we don't ask a kasha on Rav Nachman. The mukta chamira, because Rav Nachman's shita was that it's mukta. And while mukta is a din derabanan, we sometimes treat mukta in a very serious fashion. So even though we normally say sveika derabanan is lohakel, but sveika of mukta, the Tosfos Yeshanim says, we go kein daraisa, as it was a daraisa, and therefore we would also say that sveika would be awesome. So we don't even ask the question, although the Tosfos Yeshanim brings down why not, on Rav Nachman. But the Gemara says, we do have a problem. Ella, shita number three, Rav Yosef, who says that this is Perosh Noshrim Gezerah. And shita number four, Rav Yitzchak, who says it's Gezerah of Mashkim Shazavu. According to both of these two shitas, Ella Rav Yosef, Ella Rav Yitzchak, the Army Mishum Gezerah, they say it's a Gezerah. Gezerah is the Rabbanon. So then, when it's a Safek, so then the whole Safek is in regards to the Rabbanon. And therefore, called Sveika the Rabbanon Lekula. So why would both Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak understand this Mishnah that Sveika should be Asura? Now we delete the words Amalei, it says, and we just explain because Seifa, when it says over here, Sveika is Psula Asan L'Safik Trefa. It's no longer, Rashi says, it has nothing to do with Yontif anymore. It's not a Safik, was it laid on Yontif, or was it not laid on Yontif, was it laid on Shabbos, not laid on Shabbos. No, it has nothing to do with that. This is a totally new separate thing, which is the Din Daraisa of a Trefa. As Rashi explains, Safik Nolda Mitarnagolis Trefa. The question was the mother hen a treif or not? And nothing to do with yontif. A lot of yontif koi. But I did the Iri be isur beitza. Since we're talking already about beitza shenalda, it's also on yontif. So Iri nami bo. So it also brings down, by the way, a egg. We're not sure if the mother hen was a treif or not. So just like a treif was osur, everything that comes out of a treif is osur. So the egg that comes from a real vade treif is definitely osur. So when you have a suffix, did this egg come from a treif or did this egg not come from a treif? That's a suffix doraisa, didn't treif, and therefore suffix doraisa lechumra, and that's why sveik is osur. Shemar says, wait a second. If what you're just saying is right, that it's sveika, it's talking about sveika in regards to treifa, so then keep on reading. Ema sefa, the next statement was, nisarvo bi'elef kulon asuros. If this egg were to get mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, all 1,000 of the eggs now have the status of this asura one. Now, that works out great if you say, i'amris bishlomo sofik yom tov sofik ho. The reason why all the eggs are osur is because if you were dealing with a regular classical case, did it get laid on yontif or did it not get laid on yontif? So we understand it's heavy dover sheyesh lamatirim. After yontif, it's mutter. This beit shenod yontif that we say lo seyachal is only allowed to be eaten on yontif. But as soon as it's ice yontif, everybody agrees you're allowed to eat it, even beis hillel. So when do we say over here that if it's a sofek, then we say that nisarvo bi'elef kulon asuros, it's because it's only osur for one day. It's a dovish yesh lamatirin. And by a dovish yesh lamatirin, it will be permissible the next day. So then why take advantage of a kula of robe and be allowed to eat it today? Just wait till tomorrow, then there's no isur at all. So that would be true if it was a dovish yesh lamatirin, which would be a sofek was it laid today, sofek was laid tomorrow. As soon as it's chol, no problem. It will definitely be mutter. That's why, because it was a dover sheyesh lamatirim, we said, why eat it today with safek when you can eat it tomorrow with heter gomer? But if it's a safek, was it laid from a treifa hen or not? So then, eliyam is safek treifa, that will never be resolved. So it's not a dover sheyesh lamatirim. So dover she'ein lamatirim he, so it's something that will never become permissible. We'll never find out, was the mother a treifa or not? The mother hen's not around. We have this egg. There was a chance it was laid from a treifa hen, and then it would be osur. There's a chance it was laid from a mutter hen, a non-treifa hen, and therefore the egg would be mutter. So it's not a davar she'ein lamatirin, because I'm never going to find that out. And therefore, if it's a davar she'ein lamatirin, so then why don't we apply the principle of rov? V'tibatel beruba, and it should be permissible by the rule of rov. By daraisa, rov works. So therefore, why is this egg that we said was nisar v'biel of kulan asuros, if it's a dover she'ein lo matirin, because you're dealing with the treifa, sofik treifa or not, then it's not a dover she'ein lo matirin, and it should be nisar v'biel of kulan mutaros. That's what it should have said. Ah, you're going to tell me, v'chitema beitza chashuva. We have a concept that certain things are so chashuv that they're not batel, lo betela, so this egg is such a chashuv a thing, that it is not going to get bought out, but that's not true. That would only work on Nichalaman the Omar. That's going to only work according to the opinion that holds Kol Shadarkuli Mono Shaninu. Elaman the Omar, Es Shadarkuli Mono Shaninu, Michael Amar. I just said a mouthful. Let's go take this slowly now, because this is going to lead us into the rest of the shir. And the Gemara, it's a famous Gemara that's found in a number of other places as well, where we talk about what is considered a Dabur Chosh of something that is considered so important that it's not batel when it's in other things that are a majority. So, there are two opinions that we're first going to talk about. The first, they sound exactly the same. Kol shadarkli monos and es shadarkli monos sound exactly the same. But the key difference is, the first one is kol, which implies that something which is sometimes counted as an individual item doesn't ever become nullified. Even though it's not always counted. It's a little bit paradoxical. It says kol, but that implies any item is sometimes counted as an individual thing. You buy an individual one item. You don't buy always a bundle or always a dozen. You buy sometimes one of them, or you buy a specific number of them. So something that is sometimes kol shedarko limano sheninu, eggs. You can buy a dozen eggs, you can buy a gross of eggs, or you can buy two eggs, one egg. So therefore, an egg is something that the Tana says is sometimes purchased individually. I would like one egg. So in that situation, it's something that is considered chashuv. Oh, so if it's something that's considered chashuv, we understand this brisa that says nisar v'bielef kulan asuros, because it's a davar chashuv, and therefore it won't become ever batel. So that's great if you hold the opinion of kol shadarko limanos. We'll see this in Machlokas, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in a moment. But if you hold like the man the Amar, and it says es shedarku limonos shaninu. In this machlokas that we're about to discuss, this opinion holds that it's only something considered a davar chashuv if it's always individually counted. If it's ever not individually counted, then it's not considered a davar chashuv. Then what are you going to say? Since according to this latter opinion of es shadar klimonos, eggs aren't always 100% of the time sold as an individual egg. Sometimes people say, yeah, I'll take a bunch of eggs. Yeah, give me a carton of eggs. However many eggs are in the basket, that's how many I'll take. So according to this, it's not a davar chashuv, and therefore, if you're dealing with the egg over here of a trefa that's a davar she'ein lo matirim, it should not be Nisar v'bielav kulon asuras, it should be Nisar v'bielav, or even Nisar v'betray, kulon mutaros. Even if it's mixed only with two other eggs, it should be mutter. That's the Gemara's question. If you're telling me that we're dealing with a egg that's suffic from a tray for hen, suffic not, so then it should be batel, because it's not something that yesh lo matirin, and it's not something that's chashev, and therefore it should be batel. That is the Gemara's question. Now, what is this machlokis of kol shedarku limonos, es shedarku limonos? This is a famous Mishnah that we have in Arla, we haven't discussed in many other places in the Gemara. Ditnan, mi shahayu lo chavile tilson, shokilai akarim. If a person has, tilson is always translated as fenugreek. Rashi explains that it is something that's used to sweeten a pot. Rashi says it's min kitnis, it's a type of bean. Lemase kedere, it's used to sweeten the dish, to sweeten the pot. In any event, this item, if you were to have bundles of this chavile tilson, and it was a question of kilay akarim, it was grown in a vineyard. Vegetables that are grown in a vineyard are kilay akarim, and they're asur b'hana. So the Tanakhama says, they're asur b'hana, yidluku, you got to go burn them. What happens if they get mixed up with something else? Nisarvu b'yacheros, if these bundles of tilson got mixed up with other bundles of tilson, b'yacheros, b'yacheros, and then some of them got mixed up with some of them. Kulin yidluku. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says they're all considered choshev, they're not batel afilu be'elef, and therefore every new mixture potentially has the original kilay akarim in it. Kilay akarim has to be burned, and therefore this new mixture afilu be'elef lo batel. Divrei Rav Meir. Chacham disagree. Chacham amrim yalu bi'achas u'masayim. They hold that it's not afilu be'elef lo batel. No. The rabbis instituted that it is in a mixture of 200 against the one of kilay akarim, that it is batel. Less than that, it's not batel. But if you have a mixture of 200 against one or more, then it is batel. Now, what's the understanding over here? Shai Rav Meir Omer, because Rav Meir would hold es shedarko limonos. He holds that something that is always counted. Es means it's always counted. It's never sold. It's a group, here's a bunch of them. It's always counted, there's one of them, there's two of them, there's four of them. It's a specific number. So something that is es shedarku limonos is in fact mekadesh. Mekadesh means it must be burnt. If it's something that is also, it must be burnt. And it's such a chosh of a thing that even if it gets mixed up in a larger group, you're going to have to be yidloku, you're going to have to go burn. It's mekudesh, as we say, the entire group. And that means you have to burn the entire group. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, "Eino mekadesh elo shisha dvar mavad." There are only six types of food items that are considered so significant that they are not going to ever be batel. But all other things are batel. What are these six things? We'll see in a moment. Rabbi Akiva adds a seventh one. Rabbi Akiva omer shiva. There are seven things. Now, what are the six according to Chachamim? What's the one that Rabbi Akiva adds? Ve'elohen. These are the six things. And as Rashi points out, those that are fruits over here, we'll be dealing with them for the din of Orla, that they're not batel for the din of Orla. And afilu be'elef lo batel, and those that are vegetables, they'll be involved in the din of kilay akarim. And again, they're not batel according to this opinion of Rabbi Akiva or the Chachamim. Now, what are these six things according to the Chachamim? They are as follows: Eluhein, egoze perach, egozim, they come from a place called Perach. Rashi says Perach is the name of a place. The Rimonim, pomegranates, Baden, they come from a place called Baden. Rashi says so. These are considered very choshiva, and they're never going to become batel, even though they're mixed in with a lot of other ones because they're so significant of themselves. So these are both dealing with nuts or pomegranates that would have a din of Orla. Then it says, v'chavios stumos. Here we're dealing with sealed barrels of wine. And these sealed barrels of wine are very choshev when they're sealed. Once you open something up, so it's not so good. It has a spoilage, it's going to have an expiration date. When something is sealed, it's better. So these sealed barrels, in and of themselves, are very choshev. And if you mix them up, let's say there was a question of if it was a tummy or not, and then it got mixed up with other barrels, so then all these other barrels are choshev. You can't say bato be'elef. So that's sealed barrels of wine. The next one is the chilfei trodin. Chilfei trodin is a certain type of tardin, which are beets. So these are very fancy beets, very expensive beets. So they were also not batel, even afilu be'alef lo batel. Likewise, the kilchei kruv, the stalks of kruv, kruv is often translated as cabbage. So they're also very chashiv, they're not batel afilu be'alef. And finally, the last, certain type of a gourd that was yevonis, a gourd that, known as a Greek gourd. So these are the six things that the Chacham say, only these six things are so important that they're never going to be nullified, afilu be'alef lo batel, but all other fruits and vegetables would become batel when you reach the shear for arlo or kilayim of 200 against 1. Fine. What's the seventh one according to Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva Mosif, af ki karu shel balabayis. He says that the loaves of bread that a balabayis makes, they're considered very choshev. The ones that a baker makes are not so choshev, but the balabayis, when he makes the breads, everyone individually is sold. He doesn't sell in bulk. So he says, I'll sell you this loaf of bread, this cake that I made, so those are choshev. So therefore, they're not bought afilu be'elef. And as I mentioned before, haroil arla, those are these that are vegetables, so this then applies to arla. And those are these that are arla. Haroil kilaya karim, those that are vegetables that could be potentially involved in kilaya karim, they're kilaya karim. They're not batel, and you'd keep on going. If they're mixed in another mixture, in another mixture, in another mixture, afilu be'alef lo batel, it never gets batel. Now, this is the entire mission that we just discussed. Now, the opinion of Rav Meir was Esha Darko Limonos in the gear that we had. But that's a machlokis. Is it Esha Darko or Kol Shadarko? Vitmar law, and about this mission, we had a machlokis between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rav Yochanan said the proper gear is Esha Darko. It's only those that are specifically, always, 100% of the time sold individually that are included in this din of being choshev. And Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, Rish Lakish, Omar, no, the word should have been Kol Shadarko Limonos, even if it's sometimes sold individually, even though sometimes it's not. Kol shadarko limonos shenino. That's the gears of the Mishnah. Now, as we said before, ha'nichal Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, if the gears is kol shadarko limonos, so an egg is sometimes certainly sold individually, and sometimes it's sold as a part of a basket or a carton or, you know, a dozen. So therefore, it's not always individually sold, but since it sometimes is, that, according to Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, we understand why the Mishnah tells us a treif egg, safek, it's not batel afilu be'elef, because it's considered chashev. But elu Rabbi Yochanan, ma'ikla me'mar, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Mishnah. It says, esh adak le'minanus is the opinion, so therefore, why, since eggs are sometimes not sold individually, so then by definition they're not a davar chashuv, and then according to Rav Yochanan, why would that Mishnah have said that a safek of a treifa egg is not batel afilu be'elef? It should be, because it's not a davar sheyesh lo matirim, and it's not a davar chashuv, so it should be batel be'rov, should certainly be batel be'elef. That's the kasha. We finally get to the kasha. And here's the teretz. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, no, hai tana, this tana that said that the egg is not batel, is Tana, the Litra Kitziosu. That's another Tana. This is the Tana known as the Tana of the Litra Kitzios. A Litra Kitzios is a certain measure, a Litra of Kitzios. Kitzios are dried figs. Now, dried figs, Rashi tells us, are made in the following fashion. Te'enim shenis yashu basada, you dry them out in the field, and then, v'katzom b'miktsoa, you chop them up with some sort of an implement. V'hushem kli ha'asu l'kach, this kitzoa, miktsoa, is the name of a certain type of a kli. The chotchim bo uktzia tenim, you cut off the bottom part of the tenim, the achakak dorsin, and then you press them together, the chli ogul, in a round utensil, the heim nidvachim yachin, you press them all together, you get a pressed cake of figs. The nasin kavina, and it becomes like a big piece of cheese in its consistency. Vunikra igule dvela, this is the famous igule dvela, these cakes of pressed figs. And when you sell them, because you buy them ochrin, when you want to sell them, Pearson doesn't want to necessarily buy an entire cake of these figs, mafridin magrefa, you cut them off with a certain type of implement known as a magrefa, umochrin b'mishka litra, and you sell them in a certain weight, this litra's worth. That's what we're referring to. This Tana of the Mishnah that said that an egg that's a trefa is not bought lafilu be'elef holds like the Tana of this litra kitzios. What is that? He holds the Omar, called dover shebiminyan, something that is sold b'minyan, that it's sold with a weight, like a litra, afilu b'dirabbanan lo batel. He says that even b'dirabbanan, it's not batel. So even though it's not a din daraisa, because figs don't have a din daraisa, as we'll see, nevertheless, this din is afilu b'dirabbanan lo batel. It's not going to be batel b'dirabbanan, and koshki b'dirabbanan, and certainly if you're dealing with a daraisa, it's not going to be batel. So the egg is involving a daraisa, a trefa, certainly not going to be batel. Even sometimes midrabbanan, things aren't batel. Now, what is this Tana of the Litra of Kitsiyos. So the Gemara says, Titnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Now, on the side, it says this should really be the Tanya. It's really a Braisa that is adding on to a Mishnah in Trumos. In any event, this Braisa tells us, Litro Kitsiyos, if you have this caked figs, Shedarsa api eagle, that was pressed into this round type of a kli, so you have a cake figs, the Eini Odeya be'eza eagle drasa, but you put in, by accident, 1 litra kitsia of truma. Now it's again truma midrabanan because figs aren't mechuyev on the rice level, and it got mixed in over here. Ve'eini Odeya be'eza eagle drasa. You don't know which cake of figs it got mixed into. Rashi does point out Abu Yodeya she'al pivhu. You know it's on the top. And it's not mixed in. So it's on the top or the outer part of one of these caked figs. So he says, or you put it into one chavis, one barrel, and you don't know which barrel you put it into. Or Api Kaveris, you put it into a beehive, which is like a certain type of basket. And you don't know which one you put it into. So in this situation, Rav Meir says, this is the machlokas. Then we'll have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of what the machlokas is. So Rav Meir says, this is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And we turn to Dalet Amud Aleph. Rav Meir Omer, that Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is as follows. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rowin Eswal Yonos, Ki Iluhain Prudos. We look at all the tops as if they were totally separate. Vatachtonos, Ma'alos Eswal Yonos. The proper way to understand this is that the top part over here of these cakes of figs are not considered with the actual lid like of the caked figs, the very, very top, but they're considered with the bottom. And therefore the bottom can go and nullify them to make up the shear that you have to be mevatel them. That's the opinion of Eliezer. That Rowin Esalyonos Kielne Prudos Vatachtonos Malus Esalyonos, they can go and be included in the total amount. Yeshua says no. Rav Shua says no. Im yesha meyapumim, only if you have 100 tops, so then it's bottle with 100. Yalu, because truma is bottle b'meya. So then it goes out. But in lav, if you don't have 100 against it, hapumim asurim, the very top where this cake fig might be, is asur, vashulayim, but the bottom parts, they're all mutter. So this machlokes in Elezer and Yeshua, according to Rav Meir, is not what we're interested in, but what Rav Meir is saying is, Rav Meir holds that you can count the bottom to nullify this upper part, and Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can't count the bottom to nullify the upper part. Fine, we're not interested in that. We're interested in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Rabbi Eliezer holds, im yesha meyapumim. Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is what Rabbi Yeshua was, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer holds, im yesha meyapumim, only if you have 100 tops, so then yalu. So then it would be able to be nullified because you have 100 against it. You don't know which one, but you have 100 against it. Being lav, if you don't have 100 against it, hapumin asur, all the tops are going to be asur, vashulayim mutar, but the bottom part would be mutar. And here's the part that we want. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilu yesham shalosh meyos pumim. Even if you have 300 pumim, in other words, it's certainly more than 100, afilu elef, lo yalu, it can't nullify it. So what do you see over here? This is the opinion that the Mishnah goes according to Rav Yochanan, who says, Es shedarko limnos, so therefore, you might have thought from that point of view, it's not choshev, and it's not a dover sheishal materium, so it should be batel. Why did the Mishnah say it's not batel afilu be'elef? Because it goes like this tana of litro kitzios. It goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda's understanding, the machlokas of Elazar and Yeshua, according to that understanding of Rabbi Yoshua. Afilu yesham shlosh meos pumim, lo yalu, because this litra of kitzios is a dover choshuv. Here's the answer to our question, finally. That's why it's not batel. Apilu be'elef lo batel. By the way, we just finished off the brisa. Darsa be'eagle, if you press this litra of kitzios into a eagle, and the eni odeh be'ez eagle drasa, but you don't know which eagle you put it into, then it never was a separate entity. And then divrei hakol yalu. Then even Rabbi Yeshua would say that it is batel. Why? Isn't this the machlokes between Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua? Why are you telling me over here, if your darsa be eagle, that it's going to be batel, even according to Rabbi Yeshua? So Rapapa explains, oh Rapapa, this is what he's telling us. Darsa be eagle, when you put it into this circular structure, you don't know if the top part, the bottom part, the side, on the northern side or on the southern side. In that situation, it never was a separate entity. And then it's bottle, Birov. And therefore, since it's Truma, we don't say it's Batul Birov, we say it's Batul with 100, and in that situation, Diriya Kol Yalu, then it would be able to be nullified in the majority, either normally on a Daraisa level Birov, on the Rabbanon level, they said they were Mashiach. For Truma, it would have to be 100 to 1. For Kilayim, Arla, it would have to be 200 to 1. That was a little bit complicated at the end of the year. I hope it was clear. With this, we conclude Daf Gimel in Anu Masechta of Beitzah.